The Old Testament reading for the third last Sunday of the church year is from Exodus chapter 32. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, "Up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." So Aaron said to them, "Take off the rings of gold that are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord." And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, for your people whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. They have made for themselves a golden calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" And the Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, in order that I may make a great nation of you." But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'With evil intent did he bring them out, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth?' Turn from your burning anger and relent from this disaster against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, 'I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your offspring, and they shall inherit it forever.'" And the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken of bringing on his people. Then Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, tablets that were written on both sides. On the front and on the back they were written. The tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. When Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, "There is a noise of war in the camp." But he said, "It is not the sound of shouting for victory or the sound of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing that I hear." And as soon as he came near the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, Moses' anger burned hot, and he threw the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf that they had made and burned it with fire and ground it to powder and scattered it on the water and made the people of Israel drink it. This is the word of the Lord.
Your foes have roared in the midst of your meeting place. They have set up their own signs for signs.
The epistle is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is the word of the Lord.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here he is,' or 'There.' For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." And he said to the disciples, "The days are coming when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, 'Look there,' or 'Look here.' Do not go out or follow them. For as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation, just as it was in the days of Noah. So it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. So will it be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. You may be seated. There are certain passages in the Bible that are ingrained in your memory for one reason or another. Maybe you can think of an instance. Maybe it's your confirmation verse, maybe a passage that was read at your wedding, maybe something that you heard at a loved one's funeral, something like Psalm 23. It's good to have God's word in our mind and hearts, and God's word should dwell in us richly, as we hear in Colossians. Now, the epistle reading for this day in the church year is one of those passages for me that always comes to mind, and it's one that I think about often. The reason is because this passage from 1 Thessalonians 4 is in the committal service. That's the service or the rite that's done at the graveside after the funeral and when we are gathered around the grave at the cemetery. I've read this passage at the grave of God's saints more times than I can remember or count. And I vividly remember reading this passage throughout various times, and even my first year in the ministry especially, reading this passage and seeing, standing over the grave of somebody who we were committing their body into the ground, and then the next day, the grave was freshly dug for the funeral the next day, and this was all as Holy Week was beginning, and somebody else died and was called home, and then that following Easter Monday, we had another funeral, and I stood over his grave, and I looked and saw the freshly covered graves of saints. These words of God ring out in the midst of all of that death. And you see, the word of God is comforting. They encourage us, and they encourage me as a pastor when I stand then over those graves of our dear brothers and sisters in Christ. And they encourage me as a Christian who thinks about what it means to go through this life that is often called a veil of tears, mourning death, yet mourning with hope. So listen again to the words that the Holy Spirit inspired St. Paul to write. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. And you think about that, and you see that God wants you to be informed. He tells you that today. He doesn't want you to be uninformed. And there's more than one reason why. Now, primarily, it's because of what he says at the end of the reading when he says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. Because encouragement comes from God's word. It comes from knowing God's word and faith. So biblical encouragement, too, is not just someone cheering you on or saying, buck up, kiddo. It's the sure and certain hope of eternal life in Christ, given and shared through God's word. So encouraging one another with the word of God is what we do as Christians. It's who we are as the body of Christ. So look then at what encouragement you have today. And let's begin with a little bit of background. Here the Thessalonians thought the return of Jesus was imminent, and those who died before the return of Jesus missed out, that they were somehow not a part of the church because they died before Jesus returned. Now obviously this was false, and along with some other issues addressed in the letter, God uses St. Paul to correct them, to inform them about what it means to die in Christ, and what it means when the Lord returns. Now, we might not have those same misunderstandings as the Thessalonians, but you're still taught about what it means to die as a Christian and you as the whole church of God. And that's an important thing, then, to consider this day. And it's one that's very clear. When you consider the death of a Christian, it's different than the death of an unbeliever. And related to that, when an unbeliever considers death. So note first what God doesn't say. He doesn't say you won't grieve. God never once says that you won't grieve, that you won't mourn. Christians and unbelievers both grieve. Each mourns the loss of those they love, and it hurts. Jesus wept in John 11 over the death of Lazarus. Christians mourn the loss of other Christians. But you see, what's different, however, is your grieving is a grieving with hope. The grieving of a Christian for a Christian is vastly different than grief without hope. Now, why is that? Well, maybe first we should ask, what does this mean? Well, as we think about then these things of who we are and what it is to live in this fallen world, we look around us. God is evoking something in our gospel reading today in Luke when he's talking about when they're searching for the kingdom of God and in these latter days. There's a parallel in Matthew's gospel that is actually the alternate reading for this Sunday of the church year as well when Jesus talks about the abomination of desolation. Or think about the Old Testament reading as well where God's wrath is burning and then Moses' wrath is burning. There's a fear in all of this. Fear is something that that should be directed towards God. God's wrath is real, and he can, as Jesus says, destroy both body and soul in hell. And so there's a fierce glimpse of God's anger towards sin in that Old Testament reading and the gospel reading and what it looks like on earth when Christ is rejected. We see things like the city of Jerusalem, the city of peace that was laid waste, the temple destroyed. And so in some ways, God teaches us about what it means to mourn with hope when we see things like this around us. And then we now look at our own lives. We look at the world around us. We look at the world and our own lives according to God's word, according to his law, and we see that we have sinned. Not only that, but we see that as Christians, we've been called to view our lives through the lens of God's word and to lead holy lives according to it. And so all of our lives are lived in these final days. That time between when Jesus ascended into heaven and when he returns is where we live, and we move ever toward that last day. Jesus tells us there will be wars, rumors of war, countless other things as we hear about, and we'll hear about again soon during the Advent season. Living in this world is living in the end. And it's not about decoding some world events or any hidden thing that some history channel speaks about with some guy with crazy hair and attributes it to aliens. No, a biblical theology of the end times is incredibly simple. The world is fallen. Things happen in this world, even in our lives, as evidence that we live in a fallen world heading toward destruction. And so it's tempting for us as Christians to stumble over these events, to lose our gaze on Jesus who has overcome the world. It's tempting for us to veer off course and look for a false Christ that would promise us relief, healing, prosperity, life, redemption, apart from the true Christ who reveals himself in the scriptures, or just to write things off as unimportant. Many false gods spring up during times of trial. And the devil is alive and well to tear you away from Jesus and eternal life, wanting you to grieve, but to grieve where there's no hope. And so we're called, though, to remain faithful and steadfast, to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away. Those words of the introit from Psalm 31 are our prayer in this world that God would be gracious to us, let us not be put to shame, and that we find refuge in him. And so in all of those words, we are calling upon God for our redemption and hope. The alternative is to capitulate, to compromise. That's out of the question. For if the church does that, then she rightly should fear God's wrath. Because we, until Christ comes again, are in a period of grieving, but we don't lose hope when Christ and his word is preached in our midst. And so Jesus places before you today something wonderful. Seeing all that is images of terrible wrath, destruction, death, you see what the Lord has done for you. The Lord has redeemed you from this world of sin, death, and the devil. And so baptized into Christ, you are informed in this world. God shows you who you are and what you have. You are made wise in salvation and wise in the scriptures, which are a light which shines in the darkness. So to mourn with hope, then, is to see the world around you, to see the enemies of sin, death, and the devil as the defeated ones. You know that this too will pass, for God's word endures forever. Just as we sing in A Mighty Fortress, the kingdom ours remaineth. So suffering, sin, the devil's work, death, will come to an end because Jesus has taken your sin upon himself and made peace with God by shedding his blood on the cross for you and the whole world. God's wrath and anger are appeased for you in Christ. And this is seen vividly then when you look at the death of a Christian. As Christians, when you look at the death of those who die in Christ, or when you think about your own death, you know that this is not the end. I think I've mentioned before, I had a professor in seminary who once said he wants written on his tombstone, "This is but a momentary setback." The point being, yes, your loved ones have died, but they are alive in Christ. When we die, our souls go to be with Jesus in heaven, and our bodies are laid into the tomb as a person lays down his body at night to sleep. This is why sleep is a euphemism when talking about death for Christians in the Bible. The soul is with Jesus, and then on the last day when the Lord returns, we bodily, physically are raised from our graves, just as the Lord says in the reading today. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even though through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven, when a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. So those who are still alive on the final day join with those who have gone before us and are reunited with their bodies again. All have put on immortality and incorruption. This isn't some rapture in the reading, but it's the day of resurrection. Notice how he talks about being brought together here as the people of God. This is what will happen as God promises to you. This is the hope that God shows you, which is your future. And so God says, encourage one another with these words. God says this, he teaches you. Encourage one another as the body of Christ with these words of hope. These are words of resurrection and life. This is what it is to grieve with hope as Christians. It's to know, as you sang last Sunday when we observed on All Saints' Day, below there breaks a yet more glorious day. The saints triumphant rise in bridal array. The King of glory passes on his way. Alleluia, alleluia. So take courage as the saints of God to face the days right now as ones who have eternal life. Because you see, not even death can take life away from you. And that's a bold statement to make, but that's the truth of who you are in Christ. You are children of God. You are sons and daughters who are heirs of eternal life. And what a wonderful thing and confidence to have, to be informed and know what you have as God's people. It's a confidence to stare death in the face and have hope to have life. It's a confidence to stand in the cemetery at the grave of your loved ones, and as our brothers and sisters in Christ are lowered into the grave, we know that they are only lowered down to stand back up again. And that's the same for you too. That's what you will do. Unless the Lord returns first, you will fall asleep in Christ and go to be with him in heaven, and then on the last day, your body shall rise from the grave along with all God's saints. And we together will always be with the Lord in the new heavens and the new earth. So mourn, grieve death as a Christian, but mourn and grieve as those who have hope. Take courage, be encouraged, for Jesus is risen, your sin is forgiven, and you have all of this in your baptism. So what a future you have on account of Christ crucified for you. You have a future, which is glory, joy, peace, and life eternal. Encourage one another with these words. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.